talking about the star this morning and what it means and how it guides us to Jesus. Now, Christmas is such a special time, and I really am glad you're here today to celebrate the birth of Christ. And here's what I want you to remember today. I want you to remember how much God really does love you. And that's so important for us, that we just remember that He loves us and that He never gives up on us. And that alone is reason enough to celebrate. John 3:16 says this, "For God so loved the world." And that's just so plain for us. He loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. But it doesn't end there. It keeps going, and it says in verse 17, "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him." And so this morning, that's just a reminder to us that God does love us, He doesn't give up on us, and He truly does care about you. That's God's plan, and it's a plan that's based on love, and His plan means that we can now have a relationship with the God who created us. And that's the plan that was put into gear 2,000 years ago when Christ was born. Max Lucado said it this way. He said, "It was a night like no other, a night that forever punctuated the timeline of history, a night that introduced hope to humanity. God became man and came into our world to live as we do and to know laughter and tears, pain and joy, hurt and compassion. His story is a collection of monumental moments that remind us that Christ cared enough to experience life with us. Some moments show He loves us enough to change the course of hopeless situations. A lunch bucket of fish and bread that fed thousands, a leper's skin that was made baby soft. Other moments show us He understands our questions and our crying out. The death of a dear friend, or the grief of a parent, or the garden of agony. Christmas is the time to remember that Christ not only came, but He stayed, He lived, He cared. Christmas is more than one remarkable moment, or one remarkable event. It was the beginning." And that's what we celebrate today. And again, I'm glad you've chosen to be with us. One of the things I love best about our Christmas services here at Cornerstone is the kids are here and are here with us. And so what I want to do, something a little bit special, we're going to ask the kids to come up. We've got a special kind of a kids message this morning. If you guys come right over here and have a seat. We've got a little bit of the Christmas story to share with you. And if you can sit still for just a few minutes, we've got a special treat bag, a gift bag for you. So we will bribe you to be extra good tonight. But y'all get over here, kind of come on around. Scoot down. Yep, scoot down. This is awesome. I'm going to sit down right here. So I don't know. We'll get right here. Awesome. Okay. Does anybody know what tomorrow is?
Christmas.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay. What are you most excited about this Christmas? What are y'all excited about? Presents? Yeah.
I'm excited about cake.
Cake. Okay. Get to see your family. Lots of good things. Be with your family. That's awesome. You got lots of things to be excited about, don't you? Christmas dinners. I like Christmas dinners a lot. Me too. Yeah. So you guys have a lot to be excited about. But one of the biggest things we have to be excited about is whose birthday is?
Jesus.
It's Jesus' birthday, right? Is it? Okay. You ate your donut already. Okay, good, Trula. Okay. So we have so much to be excited about, but most of all, we can celebrate that it's Jesus' birthday. And so we can look back and remember how Jesus was born. And so I want to tell you a story now about Jesus' birthday. And so we've got a video I want you guys to watch, and I'm going to read while the video is playing. So you guys look up at the screen, and we'll watch the video together, and then we'll talk about it. Adventures often happen when you least expect them. And it was in the quiet town of Nazareth where a girl called Mary started her unexpected adventure. She was alone one day when suddenly she found herself face to face with an angel who had some interesting news. Mary was going to have a baby, and this is where it got real interesting, because the baby was to be God's son. Now, Mary's fiancé, Joseph, he took some convincing that this was for real. But eventually, after meeting an angel himself, he realized that this was an adventure for him too. And every good adventure needs a journey, right? Well, for Mary, this meant sitting on a donkey and traveling for days to a town called Bethlehem, the place God had chosen for his son to be born. I mean, you'd expect somewhere pretty glamorous for such an occasion, right? But Mary and Joseph, they found themselves cooped up in none other than a stable, surrounded by the mooing of cows and the bleating of sheep, and soon the cries of a little baby boy. Elsewhere, there were some other folks being drawn into this adventure themselves. On a nearby hillside, shepherds were having their own face-to-face meeting with an angel. While in a far-off desert, some travelers had discovered an intriguing star in the sky. Both the angel and the star beckoned them to Bethlehem. So soon the stable was filled with these visitors who found themselves bowing down and worshiping the baby. They couldn't help it, for his name was Jesus, and he was to be God's own great adventure on earth. An unexpected adventure, of course, but one that would change the world forever. And so that's the story of the first Christmas morning when Jesus was born. And we want to do something special for you guys. And so what we've got for you is a bag. We've got a treat bag with some stuff you can have this morning. But this is something you can take home and do together as a family. Do y'all like doing crafts together as a family? Yeah. Okay, good. I think you'll like this. You can go home and make 4 Christmas ornaments. And we've got everything in this bag you need to make them. And they will remind you of the story of the birth of Jesus. So in the first one, it says, an angel told Mary she would have God's son. And it's got little baby boy confetti in there. So you guys can make that. Then the second one, it says, Jesus was born in a stable. You see, it's got like little hay stuff in there. So that's the second ornament. It's got pictures and it's got the story on the back. There we go. And then the third one. Look at this one. It's got little sheep fur, right? Cotton balls. An angel told the shepherds Jesus had been born. So that's the story of the shepherd. And then one final one. It says, wise men followed a special star to worship Jesus. And it's got a sparkly star in that one. And so this has everything you need to make that. So here's what I want you guys to do is when you go back to your seats, you can give this bag, the red bag, to your mommy and daddy, okay? And give that to them and let them hold on to it, because you'll do this at home. But for today, we've got a special treat bag, and Brandy's got those over there. And so here's, can y'all be extra good and listen well today? And sit still. And I'm going to talk for just a little while, and then we're going to sing another song, and we'll be done. So are you guys, again, we have a lot to be excited about, and the main thing we've got to be excited about at Christmas is who? Jesus' birthday. Jesus' birthday. Awesome. So thanks, guys. Y'all were awesome and listening. So, again, take one bag per family, these red bags here, just one per family, and then we've got treat bags for everybody. And then as soon as you get them, you can go back to your seats. Let's give the kids a hand. You never know what you're going to hear or expect. So that was pretty good. So, and if you didn't get a chance to grab a bag, you can grab one after church. They'll be up here. That's a lot of kids up here. You need a few more treat bags over here, and then I think we'll be good. Okay. Fun stuff this morning. So, this morning we do get to celebrate Christmas, and Christmas is a time where we come together with family, and we get to celebrate the holidays, and like the kids say, we get to exchange presents and eat a lot of stuff and lots of things to look forward with and be with extended family. All those things are good, but at the same time, I know that Christmas isn't always a joyful season for everyone. And for many, Christmas is a time where it just reminds you that, of some hurt you've experienced in your life, and or maybe some loss, or just something you've gone through. And so I understand that Christmas is not always this kind of joyful time for everyone, because things don't always work out the way you had planned. But here's what I just want you to know, is that even when things don't work out the way we have planned, remember that God does have a plan, and that God does love you, and God does care. God had a plan to bring grace and mercy to humanity through Jesus Christ, and nothing could stop that from happening. And you may face difficult circumstances, even evil circumstances in your life, but realize that God still cares about you. And that God still loves you. Now, last week I kind of read the Christmas story, and we ended with the wise men and where they got to the manger or where the child Jesus was. And I want to pick up the story where we left off last week in Matthew chapter 2, verse 13. So in Matthew chapter 2, verse 13, it says this: after the wise men were gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up and flee to Egypt with the child and his mother," the angel said. "Stay there until I tell you to return, because Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." And so that very night, Joseph left for Egypt with the child and Mary, his mother, and they stayed there until Herod's death. Now, when you think about the Christmas story, this part you don't really focus on that much. But I can guarantee you, right, that Mary and Joseph, when Jesus was born, it wasn't in their plans that somebody, the king, would be out to kill them. You know, you have the angel showing up and explaining what's about to happen. You have the shepherds in the field, and the angels in the sky, and the wise men following the star. You have this incredible scene. And now we get to the part of the story. It says, but wait a minute. Herod was jealous, and so he wanted to kill the baby. So they had to flee their homeland and escape to Egypt. Now, the reason I bring that up is that when Jesus came, he came into a dark world to shine a very bright light. And we see here that God is ultimately in control. We see here, even when we think things aren't working out, I don't like the way things are happening, we can trust God because he is good. And so there's a few things I think we can learn this Christmas, this Advent season, that we can learn from the Christmas story and that we can apply to our lives. Here's the first thing we can learn this morning, is that this Christmas you can find hope for the doubting. You can find hope. No matter how hard Herod tried, he could not halt the plans of God. And we just need to remember that despite the difficult circumstances that we may be facing, that God does not give up on you. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. And we just have to continually be reminded of that. He is God with us, Emmanuel. that God cared so much that he sent his son to earth to be here, to live among us, to live the life that we could not live. So what is this hope? Hope is this, it's this feeling of anticipating a future that is better than the present. Now, that's what hope is. And for us, we have this feeling, we have this anticipation that the way things are, things will get better. That's hope, right? That one day, no matter how, we may not understand how, but our hope is that things will get better. And it may be when Christ comes back, things may not turn out the way we expected, but that is hope. And biblical hope, the thing that separates it is, biblical hope is based on a person. That's why hope, biblical hope, is very different than optimism. Optimism is just like, okay, optimism is like choosing to see in any situation that it could work, things could work out for the best. That's like optimism. If you're an optimistic person, you're thinking things are going to work out. Well, hope goes beyond that because our hope is not based on the circumstances we find ourselves going through in life. Our hope goes far beyond. Our hope is based on a person. It's based on Jesus. And so when we realize that our hope was fulfilled through the birth of Christ, today we place our hope in the fact that Jesus came, that he lived, that he died, and that he rose again. That's what hope is in. And so all that kind of comes together. Galatians 4 says it this way, and I love this. This is really a Christmas passage, although you don't hear it shared a lot at Christmas. Galatians 4 says, "But when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law so that he could adopt us as his very own children. And because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, 'Abba, Father.' Now you are no longer a slave, but you are God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you an heir." And so at the right time, in other words, when the world was spinning out of control, at the right time, God intervened. He stepped in. And that may be the life that you're experiencing right now. Things may not make sense. And at the right time, God just reminds us that he's in control. He steps in. And not only that, when he steps in, he brings us into his family. And so when Christ came, he provided a way that we could be made right before God and not just be made righteous, but be adopted, to be brought into, grafted in, and adopted into the family of God, where now we are God's very own children. It's incredible, right? And that's why we have hope. Our hope is based on who Jesus is, not what our circumstances are. Our hope is based on the fact that Jesus loved us so much that he went to the cross to die for us. That's why we have hope. And so when I go through life and you experience stuff, we have to be reminded of the fact, right, that God hasn't given up on us. Romans 8:28, Paul says it this way. This is why we simply cannot lose hope. It says, "We know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them." Okay, things may not work out the way you want them to work out. Things may not happen the way you want them to, but we know God doesn't give up on us. Okay? And so when I find myself struggling or questioning or doubting, here's what I do. I'll go back and I read the promises of God. I'll go back and I see how God has been faithful in the past, and I know I can have hope in the future. And in the Old Testament, there's some passages that I love, and I love going back to Isaiah. And Isaiah, again, a lot of prophecy about the coming Messiah, which is 600 years later. You know, this was 600 years before Christ. And it says this, it says Isaiah 40:31, "But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint." That's hope. That's biblical hope that's found in a person, and it's found in Jesus. Isaiah 41 says, "Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you, and I will hold you up with my victorious right hand." So in those times we feel like we cannot stand, that's when we know God is there holding us up. And so that's how much God loves us. And that's how we can see it so clearly this time of year, this time of season, when we look at the birth of Jesus. So the first thing, we can find hope. The second thing we can find love when we need it most. We can find love when we need it most. We know what love is because that's who God is. His very nature, his very character is love. It's what fueled his creation. It's what drove him to make a way to restore humanity to himself. Again, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. That's why he sent his son. And so we see that God is love. And so we see that's why he sent his son. 1 John has an interesting passage about this love that we experience from God and how we're to take this love and then extend it back out. 1 John says this in verse 9 in chapter 4, says, God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. And he sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us and his love is brought to full expression in us. And God has given us his spirit as proof that we live in him and he in us. And furthermore, we have seen with our own eyes and now testify the Father sent his son to be the savior of the world. All who declare that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them, and they live in God. We know how much God loves us, and we put our trust in his love. And so what we see here, Jesus taught that genuine love for God and others, it means that we receive God's love and then we extend that love to others without expecting anything in return. And one of the things I love about Christmas, and I don't know if you guys have noticed this, have you noticed how the news changes at Christmas time on TV? Have you noticed how it changes, and it changes from all gloom and despair and agony on me? It changes from that to all these stories about hope and about love and about joy and about peace. And there's all these sentimental stories that they highlight and talk about. And it, to me, it's like, wow. I mean, like, where's this been? I like hearing good, positive things, right? You like hearing about the good that's taking place instead of just the constant evil and the constant turmoil and all that stuff. And then at Christmas, not only that, you see everybody gets excited about serving. And so this is a good thing, right? It's like, and no matter where it is, it's like all the ministries in town, you all of a sudden you have extra volunteers and people that are wanting to come and serve and people just rising up to the occasion and say, how can we help and let's do this? And that is incredible. But here's what I also wish, that why does it take Christmas to get us into this spirit of sharing love with others? Why can't we do this all year round? Why can't we talk about the good things all year round? Why does it take Christmas? And again, it's a good thing, but when we experience the love of Christ, when we've received his love, we understand how much he loved us. Our only natural expression of life is to then extend that love to others, whether they deserve it or not. It's to live our lives as a reflection of the love we have received from Jesus. And so it's love when we need it most. That's what Christmas teaches us, is that no matter what's going on, we can share the love of God with the people around us. The purpose of human existence is to receive this love that has come to us in Jesus and then to give it back to others, and living our life of a rhythm of receiving and giving love. And so this Christmas, let's remember that. This isn't just a one time a year thing. This is a lifestyle that honors God. The third thing that we see is we find hope, we find love, but we also find joy. And we find joy even when we hurt. Those two words don't go together, right? You don't have somebody come up to you, oh, I'm so sorry you're hurting. I'm so sorry you're going through this. I hope you have a lot of joy right now. I mean, you would just smack somebody if they said that to you, right? I mean, let's be honest. I mean, if someone comes up and says, how are you joyful right now? You just, you know, no, I mean, when you go through pain, We don't typically associate the feeling of joy with that. But that's because we confuse joy and happiness. We confuse joy. We think that joy is based on the circumstances we face in life. And joy goes far beyond that. Joy is not based on what we're experiencing or what we're going through. Joy is based, again, just like hope, it goes back to a person. Joy goes back to who Jesus is and what he has promised. Joy goes back to my status before God. Since I put my faith in Christ, I now stand before him holy and righteous. That's where my joy comes from, because it doesn't really matter what this world does to me. I can still have joy because of who God is and because of what God has done. That's why it's significant when the angel came and announced the good news. We read about it in the Christmas story in Luke 2. Let's read this, and we see how we can have joy. It says in Luke 2, verse 9, "Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. 'Don't be afraid,' he said. 'I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people.'" And what is that good news that will bring what joy? That good news that brings joy. And this joy, again, it doesn't matter what we're going through in life. The good news is simply this. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, he has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by the sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger. The good news is that we have a God who loves us so much that he sent a Savior. Jesus came and lived the perfect life and died on the cross so that we might have life, so that we could be reconciled to God, so that we could be adopted into God's family. This is good news. This is where our joy comes from. So it doesn't matter what happens to me. Doesn't matter what the way people treat me. It doesn't matter what happens to my possessions, my stuff. It doesn't matter about my job. Why, I can be joyful in the midst of any of that because I know who Jesus is and I know what he's done for me. The book of Philippians is a book of joy. What's amazing about the book of Philippians is Paul wrote it while he was chained in prison. He's in prison, and he just continues to talk about this joy we should have. And he's like, "I don't care. You know, I know what it is to live with plenty. I know what it is to be in want. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." He's in the midst of that imprisonment. He's able to say, "I can have joy in everything because I get my strength from Jesus." That's where my strength comes from. That's where my hope, that's where my joy, it's where my love. All this flows out of what Jesus has done for me. And so that's the type of joy we're to have at Christmas. Even if we're hurting, man, we look forward to the day that God will make all things complete. We know what Jesus has done in our life, and we can't help but share that with others, no matter what we're going through. That's what Christmas reminds us of. So we have hope, right? We have love, we have joy. And then the fourth and final thing, we have peace. We have peace for the broken. Now, peace is elusive in our world today. Every time you turn on the news, you see political unrest, you see government unrest, you see nations at war, you see rumors of war, you see a lot of things happening in our world today. And we typically think of peace as being this absence of war. So that's kind of in our minds what we think. Peace is the absence of war. So if things are just peace, the time of peace, there's no war going on. Well, it goes beyond that. The biblical word for peace in the Old Testament is shalom. And shalom goes beyond just, really, when you look at it, it's kind of like it's when something that's complex has been put back together. It's something that complex, that has lots of pieces, and now it's in a state of completeness or wholeness. That's what biblical peace is. So when we talk about peace, and you can start seeing now why the Christmas story brings us peace, God took a broken world, a very complex world, and he brought it together, and he puts all the pieces back together the way they were intended. So when we see the arrival of peace, and Jesus is called the Prince of Peace, that's what peace is. It's not just, okay, we're not fighting. It's God starts the hard work of putting things back in the right order and repairing things. And so he starts with restoring our broken relationship with the God who created us. That's why he came. He starts putting us back together. And so that's why the Apostle Paul can say Jesus himself is our peace. He is the whole, complete human that I am made to be, but I failed to be. He now gives me his life as a gift, and that means we are now given a responsibility to go and create peace in this world, to put things back together again. Ephesians, Paul says it this way, for Christ himself, he has brought peace to us. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people when in his own body on the cross, he broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. And so peace takes a lot of work, right? It's not just the absence of conflict. True peace requires we take what's broken and we restore it to wholeness. And whether it's a relationship, whether it's a problem in the world today, that's the biblical concept of peace. Paul says it this way. He tells about how we can have this type of peace in our life and how when we worry and when we're scared and when we're frustrated and when we're discouraged, we're robbed of that feeling of completeness, that feeling of wholeness. In Philippians 4, he says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace, it will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And so that's what peace does. And now as he keeps going, he explains how we keep that kind of peace in our life. He says, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and what is honorable and what is right and what is pure and what is lovely and what is admirable. Think about these things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice what you have learned and received from me, everything you've heard from me and you saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. And so we have peace with God, and we can come to him in prayer. We can lay our burdens at the cross, and he takes care of them. But we want to, if we want to keep that peace, then we just keep focusing on what is good, what is worthy of praise, what is honorable, what is admirable. And as we focus on those things, our hearts are going to be guarded in Christ Jesus. Our minds are going to be protected, and the God of peace will be with us. And so again, here at Christmas time, we're just reminded of that. We need this. This is the peace we need. John 14 says this. It says, I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart, and peace I give you is a gift the world cannot give, so don't be troubled or afraid. You realize that the world cannot give you peace. This Christmas, I don't care what presents you get, none of them will bring you a true peace. Relationships cannot bring, anything this world gives us will not bring us peace. The only thing that can bring us peace is Jesus. And that starts when we put our faith and our trust in him. The star kind of marked the arrival of Jesus, and the star kind of led the wise men to find Jesus. And I hope the star led you here to this place this morning so you could experience Jesus, so you could meet Jesus, so you could have a relationship with him. And the reality is, for many people, we're trying to find our peace in a whole lot of places. But Jesus says in John 8:12, he says, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. Jesus promises us, right, that when we put our faith and trust in him, he will save us. And so no matter what you're going through in life this morning, I want you to know that Jesus loves you. And that Jesus cares about you, and Jesus has not given up on you. In Acts chapter 4, it says, there's salvation in no one else. The only way you can be saved is through Jesus. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. Acts 16, you have these, somebody questioning, okay, well, how can I be saved? A pretty simple question. That may be your question this morning. How can I be saved? What does this mean to be born again or to be saved or to have faith and trust in Christ? Well, the answer here is pretty
It's pretty straightforward. He says, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that whoever believes in him. This isn't complicated. It's simply putting your belief, your faith. Do you believe Jesus is who he says he is? Do you trust him to do what he promised? Paul says if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, that he's the Lord of my life, we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, then we will be saved. The greatest decision you will ever make in life is to submit your life to Jesus and say, I trust you, I believe, and I'm going to follow you. And so this morning, I'm going to invite the praise team back up, and this is your opportunity. This is the opportunity that can change your life. And if you're a believer here, maybe you have taken this step, but maybe you are living your life without a lot of hope, love, joy, and peace. And today, it's your reminder that to keep putting your faith in Christ and live through his strength. But if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, this is your opportunity. Would you guys pray with me? Bow your heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for Jesus, for his birth that we celebrate here at Christmas time. We thank you that, God, you loved us so much that you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross, that you sent him to live a perfect life, and he did that. He lived a perfect life and did not sin, so that when he went to the cross, he could be the perfect sacrifice to take away our sin. And so, Heavenly Father, I'm just so thankful for that when we come together at Christmas, we celebrate the birth of Jesus, but we look forward to the cross at Easter when Jesus died for our sins and then rose again 3 days later. And so, Heavenly Father, I pray for the believers in this room that you would give them strength to continue following you and continue living and that hope and love and joy and peace. But I also pray for those in this room that may not know you as their Lord and Savior. And so with every head bowed in this room right now, I just want to challenge you. Do you really know Jesus? Or do you just know about him? See, it's easy to know facts about Jesus. But God invites us into a relationship with him. God wants us to truly know him. And when we do that, when we put our faith and our trust in Jesus, and if you've never done that, then I want to invite you this morning to respond. Would you pray with me? And there's nothing magical about the prayer, but it's just the outward expression of what inwardly is going on in our heart. And so this morning, would you pray with me? Just Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for Jesus. I know I've messed up. I know I've disobeyed. I know I've sinned. And I know I need a Savior. And I'm so thankful Jesus came and lived that perfect life and went to the cross to pay the penalty for my sins. Lord, forgive me my sins and cleanse me from my sin. And thank you for Jesus. Lord, help me to follow Jesus from this day forward, to put my faith and my trust and my belief in him and in him alone to save me. And help me just to live each day just reflecting the love that I've received from Jesus back to the world around me. Lord, I just need your grace and your mercy. I need your forgiveness. And your word promises that when we confess our sins, when we put our faith and trust in Jesus, we will be saved. And I'm so thankful that you truly care about us, that you love us, and that you don't give up on us. Heavenly Father, I just thank you. While every head is bowed in the room, nobody looking around yet, would you just be honest enough, if you prayed that prayer today, just to lift your hand high and say, I prayed, I put my faith in Jesus this morning. What better day to start a relationship with Jesus Christ than the celebration of his birth? Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your love, for your mercy, for your grace, and most of all, for Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen.